Well, team, we're into a small series on accessing God's power. And this morning, we are going to look at the power of worship. And I thought that as we got into this topic, the power of worship, it would be good to be able to define exactly what we mean by worship. Because I think that's a term that's kind of a little bit misrepresented. Is that the right word? Yeah, thank you. Okay, it's misrepresented. Thank you very much. These days, and when you say it, people have different ideas around it. Even today, that we don't want to call the worship team the worship team. We want to call them the music team. Well, I don't know why we do that. Or we're going to sing a song instead of worship together. I don't know what that's about. So, well, I don't know. Has anyone got a definition of what worship is? Anyone want to have a go at it? Anyone want to have a, come on. Anyone brave enough to bounce out there and say, this is what worship is? We've got a couple of Kerry students here. Come on, you guys should be bouncing into this stuff, ready to go. Oh, the worship leader is going to give us a definition of worship. Okay, is this safe or not? Okay, Glenn? Hey, let me give you a mic, mate. This sounds deep and meaningful. Everyone needs to hear it.
The word, English word worship comes from this old word. A word of ascribing worth to something.
Cool.
So when you worship something, you are ascribing, you're giving it its due worth.
Cool.
It's worthy of your worship.
Straight out of the dictionary. That was beautiful, mate. Paul, you got one? Hey. Oh. Anyone else want to have a crack? Oh, who's that, me? Anyone else want to have a crack? Oh, Tony. All the pastors in the room.
My thinking around it is it's acknowledging and honouring God in whatever you're doing.
Cool. Another one straight out of the dictionary. Excellent.
I was taught there's a Greek word to do with worship called proskuneo, mm-hmm. which is to kiss towards.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You want to have a go too?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
For me, worship is simple. It's loving God. It's giving my heart back to the person who's given his heart to me.
Beautiful. We're on track. All right. Oh, Fiona. Hey, welcome back. Isn't it good to see Fiona again? Whoop, whoop. All the way from Remuera. Penrose. I thought you were in Remuera.
No, I'm not that posh yet. Maybe in the future.
Okay. Worship. What's worship?
Worship is to give your heart and your love to God.
Ooh,
and through your mouth, through your aloha, for your love, give your all to Him because He does that for you.
Cool. Awesome. These are good, right? These are really good. In fact, so good we'll just wrap up now, eh? How's that sound? Oh, I know, yeah, let's do that. Right. Okay, so I've got a definition of worship. Let me give you my response or my definition of worship here. It doesn't come up on the screen, Harry. Here we go. Worship is magnifying of God, declaring and showing how magnificent, great, and glorious He is. When worshiping Him, we reflect His worth and value. That's my definition. Do you like that?
Yeah,
I know it's up there now, Paul. I can't read it from here, bro. So this worship is magnifying God. Do you get it? It's magnifying who He is, declaring and showing how magnificent God is. This is an active thing that we're doing, right? He's great and He's glorious. When worshiping Him, we reflect His worth and value, His aroha, His love. So let's be clear. We're magnifying God when we live a life that is completely, utterly, totally submitted to Jesus. When we live that life, we're worshiping Him. When we're totally submitted to Jesus. Loving Him above all else will produce a lifestyle of worship that is expressed in singing, it's expressed in reading, it's expressed when we go walking, it's all elements of life, it's when we gather on a Sunday, it's in our relationships, etc., etc., etc. Do you get it? When we submit totally to Jesus, we begin to worship and magnify God, His greatness, His glory. And we do that in all aspects of our lives when we submit to Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Wow. You know, but however, when it comes to worship, we tend to narrow this thing down too much. We narrow it down to music, more often than not. And then we get these responses. Oh, is it now? All you people who have been a part of a worship team will recognize some of this. It's too loud. I don't like the songs. Bring back the old songs. I don't feel like singing today. There's too much singing. It's boring. These are familiar chants from people in just about every church right through our nation. It's even been documented that men have left church because the songs are too feminine. If you've ever been a part of the Promise Keepers movement, that's one of their big things. That music has been feminized and the men are leaving the church. We could stop and talk on that for a while, but we're not going to. Men toughen up, that's all I can say. I even knew of a young group of young teenagers. It would be reasonable. I was in youth ministry for 31 years. And they were given the opportunity to play and lead a church in a time of worship. They practice for weeks because they're nervous, right? But they're passionate about worship and singing and helping people in the space. And so they practice because they want to express their love for God through song. They want to lead others in that same passion. And as they got up on the Sunday and they began to play, many of the generations older than them started to put their hands on their ears. Some got up and walked out of church. I want you to understand this. This is really important. Worship is not about my personal preference. It's not about what song I like or dislike. It's not about the noise level or how the worship team dress or don't dress. It's got nothing to do with how I feel. I want you to understand this. Worship is all about God and God alone. King David, if you've read your Bibles, danced in his underwear, spontaneously worshiping God. I think if we did that this morning, some of you would be disgusted. Israel worshiped God by breaking out in spontaneous song when God parted the sea and led them into victory. Elizabeth and Mary worshiped God and sang at the miraculous power of God at work in their lives. We're encouraged too in the Word of God to worship God by singing praises to Him, to play instruments, to dance, to wave flags, whatever it is, because it's all about Him. And we can express our worship in any way we want to. And I want you to know that if you're not white European, you can express worship culturally in this place as well, any way that God would lead you, because it's all about Him. You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. So then worship, when we do that, is magnifying of God, declaring and showing how magnificent, great, and glorious He is. And when worshiping Him, we reflect His worth and value. This is worship. Have we laid the foundation? Now let's understand this. God is looking for worshipers. John 4:23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. What did Jesus mean when He said worshiping in spirit and worshiping in truth? See, to worship in spirit is to engage the whole heart. It's a real passion for God, and at the core, that passion is right at the core of who we are. To worship in spirit is to worship beyond the physical. We do not worship simply by bowing our knees. We worship through the posture of our hearts. Psalm 51:17 has this to say on that matter. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. It's a posture of the heart beyond the physical. So it's our spirit crying out to God. Worshipping in truth means that we worship based on truth of who God is and what he does. And here's the hard part of this, because worshipping truth also includes being real about our circumstances in life. It's being real about our circumstances in life. It's laying before God in truth, this is where I'm at today. This is who I am now. And when we worship him, we do not forget about our hurt, but we worship even in the truth of our hurt. We worship even in joyful circumstances. We worship him when we declare the truth. Because you see, spirit without truth leads to a shallow, over-emotional experience that can be compared to maybe being on a high. As soon as the emotion's over, the fever cools and the worship ends. Truth without spirit can result in a dry, passionless encounter that can lead to some form of joyless legalism. And you say, but hey, Gaz, it's really difficult sometimes to worship, you know, in spirit and truth. It's not easy. You need to understand. You know, there are times when I lift my hands in worship to God, and I'm singing, you know, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And I'm singing that. It's coming out of my mouth. But in my mind, I'm thinking of this nice, juicy steak. Medium rare, perfectly seasoned. I can almost see the knife hitting it and just sliding right through. Oh, I intend to focus on Jesus, but my mind is all over the place. My tummy's rumbling. And I'm hungry. I wonder when Jesus quoted Matthew 15 verse 8, he would have included some of that, where he said, the people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. Open the eyes of my Lord. But in their hearts, they're far from me. Steak, steak. I wonder if Jesus was thinking of that. Have you ever had one of those conversations where you just tune out? Someone's telling you something really important to them, but, you know, you're really not there with them. And then they say, what do you think? And you go, I know I've done that to you guys many a time, right? I apologize. I wonder if that's our problem sometimes. God has something that he wants to do in our lives, but we're just not listening. He's looking for worshipers. Remember, worshipers is a lifestyle of continuous surrender to Jesus, a total commitment to what he's done for you. It's a choice to follow him every day and to worship him no matter what the circumstances are in your life. So God's looking for worshipers. And then secondly, we don't have to feel like worshiping God before we can do it. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter what's happened to you this week, no matter what you have or don't have, God never changes, and he's totally worthy of your worship, no matter where you are at. So what happens when you've had a terrible week? An argument with the boss, an argument with your husband or wife or partner, or the car broke down and you can't afford to fix it. You're tired of fighting your old habits. You're angry with someone else. You don't feel like you're in a fit state to worship. What can you do about it? Well, you could just sit there and refuse to worship and maybe try to, you know, teach God some sort of lesson about what's going on in your life. Or you could just turn to God and ask him to help you. You could maybe seek his forgiveness and then make a choice to worship anyway. You could choose to lift your hands. You could choose to go to your knees. You could choose to sing. You could choose to rejoice together with others and worship Him. And it may be difficult at first because of where you're at. But press on in faith, and something will begin to take place in your spirit. Something will. For me, music does that. I can feel down, but put on one of my favorite songs, and I can start singing, and my whole body is lifted. My soul is lifted. And you can come here feeling down, but if you, in faith, press into worship, the Spirit of God can lift you again. Galatians 6, 7, 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will reap of the Spirit, reap everlasting life. This is a reaping into the Spirit by faith, going beyond our circumstances to worship God. Would you continue to worship God if? You can answer these questions yourself. Would you continue to worship God if His miraculous signs and wonders were not evident in your life? Is your worship of God only dependent on the abundance of God's blessings in your life? Do you only worship God for what He can do for you? Whānau, we have to fight the urge to worship God only when we feel like it. We have to worship Him no matter how we feel. And then finally, there is power in worship. Worship is a powerful weapon. Psalm 149, verses 5 to 9 says this: Let the faithful rejoice that He honors them. Let them sing for joy as they lie on their beds. Let the praises of God be in their mouths, and a sharp sword in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with shackles and their leaders with iron chains, to execute the judgment written against them. This is the glorious privilege of the faithful ones. Praise the Lord. There's power in worship. We can bind the enemy. When we worship God, great power is released. His amazing power. I don't praise God because I feel like it. I praise Him because He said to. Because it's good for me. Because when I do, He does great things. And because He's worthy to praise, whether I feel like it or not. Psalm 153, verse 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to His name, for it is pleasant. He is good. Therefore, He's worthy to be praised. Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered in My name, I am in the midst of them. God is present with us. His Spirit is here. Criticism, boredom, impatience are enemies of true worship. If Jesus is truly present with us, we should never act as if He's not here, because He is. Let us worship Him in His presence. And let me tell you this, you can dance, you can sing, you can clap, you can lift your hands, you can wave flags, you can shout however God moves you when you experience worshiping Him. And when we truly worship God, we show that we are satisfied in Him. He is the prize above all else, and that we treasure Him completely. When we say that what we do on a Sunday morning is to go hard after God, right? This is what we mean. We're going hard after satisfaction in God. We're going hard after God as our prize. We're going hard after God as our treasure, our soul food, our heart's delight, our spirit's pleasure. Can I get the worship team back up, please? Worship is magnifying God, declaring and showing how magnificent, great, and glorious He is. When worshiping Him, we reflect His worth and value. We're going to worship together to finish today's service. We go with Good, Good Father. This is what He got. Oh, what's the Spirit leading you to, Glenn? Great are you, Lord. Great. Should we do that? Great are you, Lord. Okay, Harry, have you got that? Harry's got it. Cool. Let's stand. In the key of E. Have everyone got that?
Yeah.
All right. Let's worship our God, right? Come on.
Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our breath. sing that out.
Today, if Jesus is someone that you haven't personally met yet or given your life to, then there's an opportunity here at the end of the service to come to the front. I'll be here, the prayer team. Those that are from the prayer team will be here. And we'd love to pray with you and talk with you, and so that you can experience the wonder of walking with Jesus. To know Him as the treasure of your life. And to go on that journey. It's truly magnificent. But maybe at the end of the service you just want some prayer today. Still wanting to hear, God, show me the path. And that opportunity is to come and we will pray with you this morning. So don't leave without prayer, please. And remember as you go today. Are you ready? We find hope in
Christ.
We are transformed by
Christ
and empowered through Christ to change the world. Have a great week. God bless you. Have a good one.